from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary. You know, whether the weather outside is nice or just a bit of a drizzle, this podcast is a bit of a drizzle. You'd say, what weather system would you compare Scoots to? And you say, well, is there anything that, it's a drizzle, not quite a flurry. I mean, a flurry of words, but they come at you more like a slurry. If there was a weather system called a slurzle, I'd say, yeah, slurzle. Somebody get Wayne Maher on the phone. Because it's, we say, what in the weather person are you talking about, Scoots? Holy AMA, you know, is that the American meteor or whatever it is? Meteoric or I'm meteorological with an ODD. Because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. And here's the ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Thanks for listening. All right, but Scoots here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to the both of those, like, how much is that, is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Luxe. I love my Helix Dusk Luxe. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Luxe, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And oh boy, do I want to thank Sylvia and Tabby, who both got themselves some sleep phones from our partner Sleep Phones. You can get the custom Sleep With Me branded sleep phones from our merch store. And then you can get all the other sleep phones at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones and use Sleep With Me for $5 off. So thank you, Sylvia and Tabby. The Sleepy Supporter Zone is celebrating the people that support the sponsors so we can keep this podcast free for everybody. And if you support a sponsor, let them let me know about it, particularly if you supported our newer sponsors, Echelon and HelloFresh. If you supported Echelon, also let me know, what bike did you get? Did you get did you get one of their mirrors? I want to know more. And then if you got HelloFresh, what did you cook and how did you enjoy it? And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Thanks, Sylvia. Thanks, Tabby. Oh, Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show, including you with your new podcast, As It Happens. Holy Barbara, bud. Can you sing to me, though?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullaby, so.
I'm making a podcast.
About writing songs.
It's called As It Happens.
Song the day.
Can find it,
just search for it.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. Well, check out your new podcast, As It Happens. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, so things you're thinking about. Things you might be feeling emotionally or just in, just generally, you say, well, not sure if that's quite an emotion, but I'm feeling something and it's at bedtime. Or it could be physical sensations, change, stuff going on. What about this one? I don't know if I've ever, this is probably something I probably have talked about before, but what about change in like loose change? You say, I mean, this would be more like in a movie or a poem, a Frostian poem, where someone, you can't sleep because someone out there on that, like, archetypal Street. I don't know if it's in London or New York, Bombay or Bangladesh, or somewhere else where someone's just out there. The moon is rising. It's reflecting off the pavement. And you're there in your room. You know, that one lone room, it's got the blind up, the window open, and you're lying there. And then you hear it, maybe a clanking too. They got hard shoes on and they're jangling change. You know, something we've seen thousands of times in comics and movies for sure. And then the light goes on and you sigh. And this was stuff, Alec, can I have things in Robert Frost's waste bin for 4,000, because that would be the poem. The light goes on, I peer out on the street, I don't know, you wouldn't be a purveyor, I've got some word pronunciation issues tonight, every night though, you're jangling that change. Oh boy, but that was an early tangent. If you're new, I'm here for you. Let me get back on track, and then hopefully we'll get back to that tangent. I would love to do that. If anybody has the budget for it, and just wants to pay me, nothing else. I don't really like work and all that stuff. I'd rather not do. But I could go to those four locations. We could recreate it, and I could just tell, I could just refer back to this intro. So, okay, whatever's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that. It could be, it could be anything. I hear a lot of stories. So I want you to know, what you're going through is individual or whatever, but you're not alone. All of us are here, not just me. As you're listening to this, probably tens of thousands of people are listening at the same time. So I'm here to help. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to create this safe place. It's not a safe poetic place. Hopefully it has some poetic qualities to it. You'd say, well, I don't know how I feel about a safe poetic space. And you'd say, well, that like sounds like a cafe where, you'd say, yeah, it does. You'd say it is a bit poetic. I'd say, okay, I'll take that. I'll take a bit poetic for sure. But I'm going to try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you up. I'm going to do that by sending my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky. Creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky. Just like, I was going to make a oh, so raven joke, but I don't know. It doesn't fit. Our character Oso that we're following here in The Mandalorian is an oh, so adorable. I don't think I've used the word adorable. Man, my vocabulary's been lacking. But if Oso isn't adorable, you'll be Oso asleep, I hope. Adorably snuggled up in your covers in bed. Creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic and go, ovular logic. Ovular logic, I've had a few spells of ovular logic in the last 20 minutes. And here's the thing. This is a podcast to keep you company while you fall asleep. So if you're new, I just want to give you a couple of things because I realize this podcast it doesn't exceed expectations, because if it did, in some sense, when it exceeds expectations, you don't notice. I mean, that's really my job. I don't think it supersedes expectations because I'm not even exactly sure how to use that in a proper sentence at this juncture. I don't know why I felt like I had to use that term, but I just wanted to. So it's a podcast that only exceeds expectations when you don't notice. So if you're noticing, that's why I want to take a second to acknowledge that. Totally normal. You say, what is this? I don't know if I like this. When is it going to start working? What are creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders? All those things have been asked thousands and thousands of times. I understand. And if you're skeptical, I really do say bravo, because of course, if someone told you about this podcast, you heard about it, you'd say, okay, some dude who doesn't ever get to the point is going to put me to sleep with creaky dulcet tones and goofy humor. And he's going to talk about The Mandalorian, but I might never hear him talk about it or understand what he's referring to. Or it doesn't even matter if I've seen The Mandalorian. And you're whoever told you about the podcast, they say thank you, because that was an accurate portrayal. So here's a couple of things to know. One, this is a podcast you don't really need to listen to. You can listen to it. But what works best, I've found, is that you kind of find your way of what works best for listening. But if you start off like looking at it like you're looking at clouds or leaves in a river or a waterfall or rain, you know, if you've ever watched rain before, wow, I mean, isn't it pretty, it's pretty good for a few moments. It sets a mood. That's all rain, you know, when you're looking at rain and you're not in rain. Well, one, rain gives you information. You say, is it rain? Yep. If you see it, you know, that's pretty easy. You say, yep, it is. I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, you say, I think it is, or it was, but most of the time it's, you say, yep, not too hard. Oh boy, is it coming down? But then you might look at it, and sometimes I'm in the mood. I just look at the rain and I watch it, or I watch what it's, you know, go, you know, what it's contrasting or what it's bouncing off of. But for the most part, unless you're in the mood, you like, it's just something you kind of barely watch. No offense, rain. You do have your beautiful moments, but usually rain's more of a, like, oh boy. I really didn't think, I mean, I did joke about meteorologists at the beginning of the show, but I didn't think I'd be talking about rain in this manner. But rain's more like a punctuating thing. Like you say, well, I do watch clouds, you know, that's a big thing. And I can believe there's rain watchers out there, but it's more of like something, I mean, I don't know, are you with me? Like you kind of, rain is more of part of a mood. You get, you know, you get the heater on, maybe you got some TV, or maybe you're watching the rain, but you're kind of in that middle place, is a little bit zoned out, chilled, and drifting. And that's kind of how you ideally, when you first approach the show, I mean, if that wasn't a convoluted way to explain it, this would be somebody else's podcast if it wasn't. But yeah, kind of do that, like just like you're watching the rain. And you say, okay, well, nothing to your right, Scoots. It's nothing super interesting. You know, after a few minutes, you say, okay, well, oh yeah, it's picked up. The rain's picked up a bit. I think this could be another thing. I just didn't even think of this, but they say, you know, they talk about idle time or idle hands or whatever they say, you know, when parents try to teach their children about the old cat in the hat. I think that's what those two kids were doing. They were watching the rain with their fish. So if you're a kid, remember, don't watch the rain for too long unless, you know, unless you're going to sleep or chillaxing. If you're watching the rain, keep an eye out for the cat in the hat. Put that on a, you know, put that on a cat. What are those things called? Needle points. Put it on a pillow for me. Also edit it down to something more pithy, or, you know, whatever I said. When you're watching the rain, something, something, cat in the hat. So where was I? I was trying to say, oh, so this podcast you don't need to listen to. You know, got that covered. It's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off. And so you could kind of fall asleep whenever you want. Ideally, you just don't even notice. You're like, okay, Scoots just somehow was talking about the baby, you know. Oh, I don't know what he was talking about. It was Mandalorian, because I think he might have talked about mandolins, but I'm not even sure if he does, like, because he said something about Yo-Yo Ma, and I said, what does Yo-Yo Ma have to do with mandolins? And then I said, maybe he thought somebody's name was Mandolin. And then he said, well, yeah, of course, that's a Mandolin. Like, my name's Lin. I'm a Mandalorian. just call me Mandolin for short. And in our world, we don't have mandolins, so I don't know what you're giggling about. So there's a kind of example of a use case of a regular Sleep With Me listener's breakfast conversation or lunch, or, you know, say, hey, Lynn, what was that podcast you listened to? Oh, boy, do I love it now. Because why do you love it so much? I don't have any idea. I mean, somebody told me he was talking about a Mando named Lynn. And then we said, whoa, is it named after Lynn, the great Lynn? You know, friend of the Goof Boys and everything. And they said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about, Lynn? Anyway, lunch is over. Got to get back to those spreadsheets. They're not going to, whatever, you know, they're not going to collate themselves. Or whatever, you know, spreadsheet term. I know I should know some spreadsheets. Like, there's a C word, concastinate or whatever. Oh, boy, let me try that. Put it in there, though. Like, they're not going to concastinate themselves. Lynn, there's no such word as concastinate with, because I'm just joking. You know, I slept so good last night. Sorry. So that's how, like, so those are, that might be a regular listener. That might be a chronic listener. I actually say, well, I listen so much I can't even pronounce words that I'm an expert in anymore. Okay, so you don't need to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. If you can't sleep, I'm going to be here the whole time. So that's the other thing. Or if you wake up in the middle of the night, hey, I'm here for you to keep you company. That's my job. I make the show because I've been there. I know how it feels. Structurally, it's a little late to tell you this, but the show starts off with business. That's really how my goal is, to have the podcast be free and not a paid service. So that's how we do that, is the sponsors and supporters at the beginning of the show and after the intro. Then there's an intro, which we're at the end of. It's kind of like the listener's time to wind down. A lot of new people say, what is it? When's the story going to start? What is it? And I say, well, I want to give you plenty of time to unwind. But as you become a regular listener, you might find you're like the 2% of people that kind of skip ahead to the story. Or you're like the 2% of people about that become patrons. And then some of them listen to all intros. Some of them listen to stories. And some of them listen to the regular episodes. So kind of see how it goes. Structurally, then we'll talk about the Mandalorian. But you could be spoiled, because they will cover some basic stuff that happened in the episode. But I don't know if you'll remember it, and it won't be like super gripping. And if you haven't seen the Mandalorian, I wouldn't worry about it. It'll still put you to sleep. And then if you're planning on watching it in like 6 or 8 months, you'll probably forget what I said. I mean, who are we kidding, right? So that's the structure of the show. It's about an hour. And I make this show because I've been there tossing and turning. I know how it feels. And because I believe you do deserve a good night's sleep. And if this podcast can help you, it would be my honor. Now, the flip side is, it doesn't work for everybody. Some people strongly doesn't work for, and they probably aren't listening anymore. But if you are, if it doesn't work for you, say, well, I'm not sure if this is my thing. I gave it 2 or 3 tries. SleepingMePodcast.com/nothankyou has some other shows you could check out there. But I want you to know, I really appreciate your time. Believe it or not, I work very hard on this show. I yearn and I strive. I'd like to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, Mandalorian fans, it's time for episode 5, The Gunslinger, chapter 5, excuse me. And the recap is heavy on the Kargus, Reef Kargus, or whatever his proper name is, Guild Code, previously on The Mandalorian. Mando, they all dislike you strongly. Sorgan, no population. Then, you know, but Mando says no life for a kid. And then his robotic yes, yes. And then the opening of the show or the intro with the Lucasfilm and the Star Wars. Then we have a black screen with some sound effects, which sound like lasers to me. And we get what I believe is our first space battle. It's a brief one, but it is, you see, this is technically a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So remember that, because what happens in the space battle, like two spaceships battling, you know, like a drag racing, I mean. And there's a dude in a blackbird-like ship, and he's got a, he kind of does look like a Top Gun pilot. He doesn't have a full, I mean, I guess he should have a climate-controlled ship anyway. But he looks like a Top Gun pilot. He does a lot of spinning. One of the engines on the Mandalorian's ship goes out at 1:30. If you're looking to pause, you know, if you're looking to pause this episode a few times, or 1:53, I don't have the ability, you know, and I'm on embargo still. No reading of any Mandalorian stuff, period. I mean, I did see accidentally a couple headlines, but, you know, I said that's clickbait. You know, even if it wasn't, it was baiting me to click it. But so Baby Oso is in a question mark. I said, is that a suitcase? Is it a, like, what is baby, is Baby Oso wearing Baby Oso's belt? But whatever Baby Oso's sitting in, it has four buttons. The yellow one or the orange one is lit. And it's not in Roy G. Biv order, because it goes red. Let me see my notes here. Red, green, blue, and then the yellow one is lit. So he's in something. He does, he is holding on, but the ship is, you know, going around. And they say, well, do you need it? I guess you don't need it. Like, you just need something to hold, keep you in your seat. I don't know. Then we see, like, the kind of old school Star Wars readouts, computer readouts. I think this was interesting. Oh, I did ask about momentum in space. Then there's the Top Gun moment, which is funny because the Mandalorian doesn't say anything. But if Tom Cruise was there, he'd say, that's my move. Because he hits the brakes, they fly right by. And the Mandalorian says, that's my line, because the other pilot stole his line. Then the ship is, like, the engines are shut down. It's drifting in space as the theme music, the opening and the opening placard go up. The gunslinger, Mandalorian kind of resets the ship. I wasn't sure. He does a lot of button pressing, and he says, you know, we're losing, he's pressing buttons at first. He says, we're losing fuel. Then he does a reset or goes to backup power. I don't know which one. And then I thought about it that I couldn't, I guess it could never fly in space because, I mean, I guess it could, well, I couldn't be a cadet or anything because I don't do well with authority. So I couldn't be a member of like Starfleet or whatever, even the Rebel Alliance. I'd say you got too many rules. So boy, I'd say, so this is an alliance. Do you have like a, do I have to make my bed? And they say, yes, require. I say, okay, well. Nice knowing you. I guess it could be like, and then for this, like being independent, I couldn't, I wouldn't be able to figure all that out. I mean, I can reset stuff, but I wouldn't, like, it looks like you actually have to have some knowledge. Then he calls in, he gets the ship restarted. He calls in to, Mos Eisley Tower. They say land at 3-5, landing strip, Mandalorian lands his ship, puts Baby Osso away, which, I mean, this one, you say, dude, like, what, like, come on, man, like, Mandalorian, you're just gonna put the baby in it, like, put Baby, like, haven't you learned your lesson yet? And there's some gas station droids, so he puts Osso, like, Osso is asleep, though. And he puts him in, like, one of those things, like, one of those things, I mean, Osso's a little kid, and there was plenty, I mean, it was a perfectly good environment for the time being, but not to get off the ship. But again, I mean, the Mandalorian is in a tough spot because he's got to keep it all secret. But he gets off, we see gas station droids, he says, no droids. Then we hear a hey, hey. And we said, I said, holy Sedaris, like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. At first, I actually didn't say holy Sedaris. It took me a few minutes. I just said, like, whoever this is they casted is absolutely amazing. And then I realized who it was. It's Amy Sedaris. So she's delightful in this episode. I mean, I don't even know how what else to say other than... probably beyond delightful, maybe. So, hey, hey, holy Sedaris, strangers with candy, so good. He has 500 credits he could give her. She goes, oh, that's good for, like, the you know, landing pad. And she goes, what do you think? She asks the droids. She spent too much time with these droids. They think she'd be the first to admit it. And he says, I'll get your money. And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. No droids. Yeah. And then as he walks off, she goes, oh, you're a real womp rat. Then there's great continuity because Mando exits Hangar 3-5. He heads into town. There's ominous music. There's a pan up and we see some stuff from this teaser trailer. I don't know what the character's name is, but Amy Sedaris is playing poker with the droids. And then there's noises from the ship. She goes, stay in there or something. And we see Baby Osso comes out of the ship. And she goes, now, now. And she tells the droid, how do I know what it is? She goes, are you hungry? And then she goes, here's the plan. I'll look after you, and then I'll charge, you know, that Mandalorian for babysitting, a ton of dough and tip. She calls him Bright Eyes, which I liked a lot. So very, very nice scene. And also, I think, like, they couldn't have known what the audience reaction was going to be to this show or the season or Baby Oso. But she definitely represents the audience. I mean, I feel like the overall reaction to Baby Oso in some sense, in everybody's dream, to babysit Baby Oso. So, yeah, she says, oh, bright eyes. Then we switch to Mando going through town. It's a mess. And yeah, there's a lot of, like, the one headline I said something, something fan service. And I said, I wish I didn't read that, but I don't even, like, there's a lot of familiar locations and stuff. So, I mean, you say, oh, cool, I kind of recognize this, or I kind of recognize that. Looks like they use propane at the cantina. So he goes into the cantina, I think the original one. He says, hey, droid. And the droid goes, hey is for horses. And he says, hey, droid. And he goes, hey is for horse. Like, he goes, I'm not a hey droid. You know, my father figure was a hey droid. I'm a barkeep droid. If you want a hey droid, go to the stables. And he says, what in the heck? And then he goes, I need work. And the dude goes, guild cannot operate on Tatooine. And he goes, I'm not in the guild. He goes, it does not improve your situation. And then we see a stranger holding a coin. And at first he's, you know, bathed in kind of shadow. He's kicking his feet up Han Solo-esque. And he says, think again, Tin Can. And he goes, you're looking for work? Have a seat, my friend. And this is at 8:43. And I honestly didn't know this, but I did. My first reaction when he was bathed in shadow was, holy Cannavale. Probably not pronouncing that, but I thought it was Bobby Cannavale, who's done a little bit of everything in the past 15 to 20 years. And it's pretty much always a bright spot or an interesting spot, you know, an interesting character or just a bright spot. And, you know, most people, I mean, I think his brightest moment was in The Station Agent. But bright human brightness. So then Mandalorian goes over and it's not Bobby Cannavale. It may be his son. I mean, no, I'm not positive it's son. I'm just playing, like, I looked it up. But his name's Toro Callahan. Toro Callahan. And he goes, I picked up a bounty puck mid-rim, man. Fennec Shand, going to go get her out beyond the Dune Sea. And the Mandalorian says, well, good luck with that. I'll see you later. Because Fennec Shand, because he thinks it's going to be easy. And the Mandalorian says, it ain't going to be easy. And he goes, well, I thought you needed work. He goes, well, how long you been with the guild? He goes, don't worry about it. He goes, well, you know, Fennec Shand's, you know, total, you know, she's tougher than tough and not possible. And then he goes to leave. And I don't know if he feels bad for the kid because the kid says, so listen, man, this is my first job. And you could keep all the money. Maybe it's just that he can keep all the money. He goes, but I need this job to get into the guild. He says, I can't do it alone. And the Mandalorian says, all right, meet me in hangar 3-5 in a half hour with 2 speeder bikes and give me a tracking fob. But obviously there's no trust there because, so this brings up 2 questions. I mean, one of which I think is like a little bit of fan fiction. One is like, one, how much they get paid that this kid could go get 2 speeder bikes and still get a return on, you know, that it makes sense. I mean, the other thing is that this kid is like a Bountafarian or whatever. Trust a Bountafarian, like Trustafarian was someone that toured with bands but had a trust fund. That was a term. And this kid does seem like a Trust a Bountafarian because everything he's got is new. And it just seemed like he had money to spend. So it'd be interesting. I mean, his backstory would be mildly interesting. If the Mandalorian goes back to his ship, no baby Oso. So he kind of flips. Oh, there was also a walking, one of those two-legged droids that always looks lost. He goes, oh, no, I left my Oso alone again. Hey. And then Amy Sedaris says, you woke it up, dude. And he goes, oh, she goes, not so fast. You got an awful lot to learn about raising a young one. And then there's a couple of looks exchanged. Then she goes, anyway, almost got your ship, you know, working on the ship without droids. You got any money? Mandalorian grabs a backpack of all things, like kind of an old school one. Like a, what do you call that? What's that material called? Canvas, a tan canvas one. And he goes, then of course he says, thank you. Then he goes out to the speeder bikes, and the dude goes, not too shabby, huh, Mando? Mando, like, tests out the, Mando was getting a chopper speeder bike, so chopper bike, a chopper speeder. So Mando tests out the bike. He goes, what'd you expect? This isn't Corellia. And he goes, ma'am, the kid. Oh boy, I got to pause it to tell you that 1238 is like a place to pause. There's just this beautiful 1234. This music starts, and then there's these great desert shots. There's an overhead shot now and later that are just simple shots, but I really thought they were just breathtaking in their simpleness. I don't know, and just the lines and stuff. Then they stop, and the Mandalorian says, oh, heads up. He goes, what is it? He goes, Tusken Raiders. And he goes, then they go back and forth. The Mandalorian goes, these are the locals. And he goes, well, I'm not worried about it. And he goes, well, why don't you tell them yourself? So then the Tusken Raiders are there. Mando says, relax. He kind of talks to them. They communicate by like sign language. So they go back and forth. He goes, yeah, I'm working on getting us a passage across their land. And he exchanges the kid's binoculars. He goes, they were brand new yesterday. And the Mandalorian goes, they were. And then we have another nice shot of this, like I said, an overhead shot of them on bikes in the sand and the dunes going downhill. Then they stop again. The Mandalorian says, just get down, man. He goes, what? He goes, tell me what you see. He goes, do back. And he goes, yeah, let's go down there and check it out. Not sure if it's Fennec Shand or somebody else. It's another bounty hunter and ends up... Then they talk about kind of scavenging that. And then we realize that Fennec Shand's a distance off and she's got like this spitball thing with lasers. So she starts hitting them with spitballs, you know, with the Mandalorian's armor. He says, that's not cool. Like, because she has like them don't do this, anybody that's listening, but they're spitballs dipped in food dye. Or some kind of dye. He says, this is messing my look up. So he goes, good thing you hit my Beskar. Because, you know, he goes, it could look. And the kid goes, I don't even wear any Beskar. And Mandalorian goes, nope. He goes, we'll have to wait till dark. I'm going to rest. You take first watch. Then we see Fennec Shand watching. The kid, he goes, it's time to ride, Mando. And Mandalorian is faking being asleep. He goes, sleep on the job, old man. And he kind of tries to be like Han Solo smooth. And Mandalorian goes, are you done? And then they learn that, we learn that Fennec Shand has like a thermal scope. So they use these flares to try to get it. We got a chance, during that, Mandalorian's bike gets hit by a, well, you wouldn't think this, but a chopper is very vulnerable to spitballs. So Mandalorian loses his bike. They make a bunch of quick moves, and then there's a dance off between the kid and Fennec Shand, or however you spell it. He's not very good. He says, ow. And then the Mandalorian shows up. So he goes, great distraction with your dancing. And he goes, we're taking you in, Fennec. Find your blaster, kid. And she goes, oh, a Mandalorian. Been a long time since I've ever seen one of you. Anybody, you hear about what's going down on Navarro? Sounds like that Mandalorian got off easy. And then the kid says, you're my ticket into the guild, so quit talking. Then they go back down and they realize they can't get across the desert. They only have one bike. So Mandalorian has to go get the dew back because there's a little bit of lack of trust still. So the kid says, oh, I'll watch her. And he sits on his bike and he kind of watches Fennec Shand. The dawn comes and she wakes up and kind of groans. She goes, it's been a while. Suns are coming up. And she goes, if you could just give me a ride to Mos Espa. So remember, there's Mos Eisley. I kind of remember Mos Espa too. I don't, you know. And she goes, it could pay you double. He goes, I don't care. She goes, well, it seems like you're not the boss. He goes, oh, I'm only because I let him be the boss. I just want to get into the guild. I don't care about the money. And she goes, you already have something they care about more than money. This is when I put the whole Tristafarian thing in, because he is very well dressed and new clothes and everything. I mean, it might not be a trust. He might have got, like, whatever, 30,000 credits. They say, well, you're going to go to school. Like, this is how much money we have set aside for you. Like, kind of like a prodigal child. I mean, maybe in this world, his dad is like a Bobby Cannavale of, I don't know, Corellia or something. This is a beloved, multi-talented performer. And he says, Pop, I want to be a man, you know, I got to go out on my own. And the father says, well, you're a bit of a, adult, no offense, kid. But I can't, I can't stop you. So let's see, Mandalorian, she goes, geez, you could get that armor, and the Mandalorian, they'd welcome you with open arms. It's legendary. And he says, I don't know. And she goes, well, they said that the Mandalorian had a child with him. And the kid goes, huh? And she goes, fear not, I can help you, make a deal for yourself. And then they go kind of face to face. And the kid goes, that was some good advice. Who wouldn't want to be a legend? Thanks for the tip. And then he spitballs Fennec Shand. Then the next thing we see is Mando on a dewback. He gets out there, some Western music. He finds Shan, spitballed. She's been spitballed, totally spitballed. So he goes back to town. You know, it takes a while. They skip that part, obviously. It's nighttime. Mando returns. There's good music. Doors open to 3-5. And the speeder bike's parked there. Everything's empty. The droids are hiding. And Toro says, it took you long enough. I'm calling the shots now, huh, Mando? And he goes, raise him. And then he has Amy Sedaris, she goes, cuff him. You're a guild traitor. But the Mandalorian has another flare up his sleeve. Literally, he's got, I got a flare up my sleeve. He goes, this is going to make me legendary, but it doesn't make him legendary. It ends up that he is adult because Mando outmaneuvers him, spitballs him right in his. He goes, these are my fancy clothes, my fancy bounty hunter clothes. But Amy Sedaris is more concerned with where Baby Oso is. She goes, got to get it. Where is it? Baby Oso's hiding behind some baskets. She goes, there you are. Are you hiding from us? And then she goes, look at you. Oh, so loud for your big little ears. And then the Mandalorian must have grabbed, I guess I'll watch it here, but he grabs something out of the kid's pockets, which I couldn't tell if they were shells or funds, and he uses that to pay off Amy Sedaris, because she goes, take it, you didn't get paid, and then he goes, well, will this cover me? And she goes, yeah, oh yeah, I mean, like, I couldn't tell if it was like, oh yeah, because just sometimes things are a little dark, or I just don't know what I'm looking at. I'm going to try to watch it again, but it's pretty light in where I'm watching this too, so I can attempt to read my handwriting. Yeah, but then she go. Then there's like the outro music. She tells the droids to bring the kid, Spitball Kid, to Beggar's Canyon. Then there's the out music as the Mandalorian ship takes off. But then we start to hear that famous space static sound and spurs. And then we hear like who, but I'm going to wait for the episode to catch up. She's picking up Yoda now, or baby Oso, who is reaching out to her. It says child coos in the, what is the subtitles? That was really loud for your big ears. Okay. So he opens his pocket. I think it's his wallet. He pulls out. Now he walks over and, takes the baby and he's going to go pay her here. So I just want to see if it was money or shells. So I take it he didn't get paid. He goes, yeah, this kid had trust, and he took all the money out in his ATM. Oh, yeah, it looks like it's various kinds of money. So then, yeah, Mandalorian and Oso take off. And after they take off, we hear the space sound effects in the spurs. And then we just see a figure checking out Fennec Shand in the desert at night. We hear spurs, but I don't see the person had that. I don't see that they necessarily have spurs. I wonder if this is Greef Karga's, because the person has boots and a cape on. We never see anything more than that. And the episode ends with 10, ends up with 10 paintings at the end, just like the other episodes, except for the one where I was like, does it 9 or 10? So it must always end with 10. So that was the episode. Then let's see. Some of this, there's a lot that came up here. So let's start with Blackbird, the Beatles song. Because it looked like the spaceship was a Blackbird SR or whatever. Written by Paul McCartney, credited to Lennon and McCartney. Although McCartney's the only Beatle who appears on the track, he says the lyrics were inspired by him hearing the call of a Blackbird in India. And also the 60s culturally in the United States. Let's see. It was inspired by Bach's Bori in E minor, a well-known lute piece, often played on the classical guitar. Let's see what else here. He played it at home for his future wife, Linda. Finger-picking technique was taught to him by the folk singer Donovan. It kind of it seems like it has different meanings and contradictory statements about its inspiration and meaning, which I can understand. Legacy, let's see, it was a number 5 of the White, like some people say it's the 5th best song on the White Album's 30 tracks. Very popular, remade probably a lot of different times. Yeah, there's a whole Wikipedia article about it. And it's, you know, it's a song a lot of people know. What about an actual Blackbird? Or the ship. Let's see. The Wikipedia says there's a lot of groups that could be considered Blackbirds. There's Old World, Chinese, Common, Gray-Winged, Indian, Somali Thrush, Tibetan, and White-Collared. Oh, there's two groups. It says Old World Blackbirds and New World Blackbirds. So, and then there's a lot of stuff, film, theater, TV. What about the places consuming? Oh, air, the SR-71 was a long-range, high-altitude Mach 3 aircraft made by Lockheed and Skunk Works. Clarence Kelly Johnson was responsible for many of the innovative concepts. Introduced in 1966, retired in 1999. So it had a 33-year run. Took over for the U2. Let's see. Yeah, so a little bit, you know, it was one of those things that butterfly in the sky, that could fly twice as high. But it did look a lot like the ship the person was flying, at least to me. and it was kind of supposed to be stealthy. So that, I don't know, that's a little bit about the black. Speaking of flying, oh, we'll do that next. Oh, well, this is flying in space. This is from Khan Academy. You know, I Googled, is there momentum in space? And this came up. You know, momentum is a word we hear colloquially and in, colloquially and in everyday life. Momentum is a measurement of mass and motion and how much mass is in how much motion, usually given the symbol P. And, you know, link to this because I don't have the exact. So there's impulse. This talks about a lot about calculating it. Momentum in space. So many people are familiar with astronauts in orbit. They appear to effortlessly push around objects. Because astronauts and objects are both in free fall, they don't have to contend with gravity. However, they still possess the same momentum they do on Earth. It can just be difficult to change the momentum. So I don't know, then there's a mass problem that I'm not going to be able to. So I guess there is momentum in space. It's just harder to change the momentum. So I don't know what that means for keeping Baby Oso in Baby Oso's seat. That was my main thing. Movie Top Gun, I talked about in an episode not that long ago. It came out in 1986. I think there's a new one coming out at some point. June 26, 2020. It has Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis, Val Kilmer, Anthony Edwards, Tom Skerritt, and many more. It is a popular movie. I mean, I talked about it in an episode, but it just had a little, there was a little nod to it in this one. Now, I know a lot of these listeners are big Stephen King fans, and a lot of them have read The Dark Tower series. And I think the first book is called The Gunslinger. So I looked that up on Wikipedia, and it says it's a fantasy novella by Stephen King, originally published in 1982 in the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction. Oh, no, in 78. Then it was collected with four other stories as The Dark Tower, The Gunslinger. Then it became the first chapter of the book and was revised for the inclusion. And it also takes place in the desert and has a raven. So I don't know. It's been a while since I read it, and a lot of listeners say you read the whole series. I know there was a movie that wasn't super successful, but that really doesn't mean anything about the book. So I don't know. Maybe at some point I will commit myself to reading the whole Dark Tower series. So that's just a little bit about that. I'll link to that. How about the show Strangers with Candy? That's like Amy Sedaris, an Amy Sedaris property. It was produced by Comedy Central 1999 to 2000, three seasons. Considered one of the top cult shows or prequels. It released in 2005. It tells the story of Amy Sedaris' character, Jerry, returning to high school as a freshman at age 46 at Flat Point High School. And Amy had lived a very full life. It was first envisioned Stephen Colbert, Paul Dinello, Mitch Rouse, and Amy Sedaris, kind of based on some other stuff they saw in after-school specials and teen series, and eventually worked it into this material. So maybe something you've seen before. Let's see. It looks like maybe. I don't know if there's another movie in development right now. But definitely something worth checking out. I mean, if you're unfamiliar with the real brilliant work of Amy Sedaris, kind of pretty much everywhere, TV, stage, voiceover, film, Alpha in the holiday season. She's written a lot of stuff, playwright, so... Amy even had according to Wikipedia, a cupcake and cheese ball business, Dusty Food Cupcakes. So I don't know. Just again, someone that I've always admired and looked up to, and say, man, like, I don't know. That's just someone that's, it really impresses me. You know, someone I haven't heard of in a while, but that's probably my fault. It's Bright Eyes, Connor, or I can't say it, Connor, I can't ever say his last name, but Bright Eyes was a band with Connor, who I think played everything. Maybe on tour they had other ones, from Omaha, Nebraska. This was like kind of like 90s indie rock. I guess I can't believe it's 90s indie rock. I'm wide awake. It's morning. No, okay. So I guess that was in 2004. So I'm trying to just think of like what it's like or what's going on now. People's Key. So still recording 2008, 2011. Usually it's Mike Mugas, Connor, and then Nate Walcott. You know, kind of like a indie singer songwriter vibe, I guess, is my memory. And let's see what Connor's doing. What else? Like, I'll click over there. Singer songwriter. Yeah, a bunch of other bands. Currently, Better Oblivion Community Center. And playing solo. So Connor Orbs, I think it's O-B-E-R-S-T, but I always think it's like, it's not Oberst's, I don't think. But yeah, that's what Bright Eyes made me think of. Then speaking of music, I think actually Amy Sedaris told Baby Yoda now. So I said, well, let me look that up. That's a song by Radiohead, right? No, it's There. And it's actually one of the songs I really like. It was on 2003's Hail to the Thief. It was also, they performed an early version during a webcast in 2000, before the album. It's a rock song with layered percussion building to a loud climax. Influenced by Sushi and the Banshees and Pixies. York said the song was supposed to be comforting. It's all right. You're just imagining it. So yeah, there. The whole idea is saying, hey, I'm here to put you to sleep. There. So, and actually on the single, it looks like there was a song There Where Bluebirds Fly or something. Okay, another thing was Bobby Cannavale, but what really made me think of, like, it made me think of the movie The Station Agent, which is, if it's a movie, if you haven't seen this movie, you do yourself a favor and track it down. I got to see it in a theater. It's a 2003 comedy drama. Tom McCarthy wrote and directed it. Peter Dinklage is the star of the film. I mean, without a doubt. It takes place in. It takes place when Peter Dinklage's character, who kind of like is a bit like Scoots in real life, says, geez, I'd like to be alone and, you know, just mind my own business. So he moves into an abandoned train station. He purchases it. And there's also like this niche thing. I mean, this was before the internet was super huge, but because he's like a train chaser, I think, like, or somebody who likes to take videos of trains and share them on the internet. I mean, I guess it was, the internet was a thing, but, Patricia Clarkson, Michelle Williams, and Bobby Cannavale and John Slattery are also all in the movie. It only costs an independent film, $500,000 to make. Finbar McBride is a character, that Peter Dinklage plays. Then he meets, like, it's just great. You just gotta see the movie. I guess I don't want to describe it anymore, but Bobby Cannavale, there's a little bit of surrealism too, at least with Bobby Cannavale's character, Joe. And I mean, it is like one of those movies that will make you, take you on multiple emotional journeys, really make you feel, really make you feel a lot. So yeah, do yourself a favor. Let's see what Robert Ebert always said. Oh, and Elvis Mitchell. Wow. Two of my favorites. Elvis Mitchell said, Tom McCarthy has such an appreciation for quiet that it occupies the same space as a character in this film. A delicate, thoughtful, and awful, and often hilarious take on loneliness. It's the kind of appetizing movie you want to share with others. This is all from the Wikipedia page, by the way. And then Roger Ebert said, this is a comedy, but it's also sad. And it's simply a story about trying to figure out what you love to do and then trying to figure out how to do it. It's a great relief. The Station Agent is not one of those movies in which the problem is that the characters have not slept with each other and the solution is that they do. It's more about the enormous unrealized fears and angers that throb beneath the surfaces of their lives. So definitely a movie worth checking out. Speaking of, you say, Scoots, I don't know who Bobby Cannavale is. I said, whoa, really? And I will say that sometimes he is like too handsome and charming, and I do get jealous of him in certain roles. And I say, I've had enough of you, Cannavale, with your jawline and your smile and your kind eyes. But he really is a delight. I mean, without a doubt, especially if you, the Station Agent, I think, was a big breakthrough in my opinion. But he's been on movies, TV. He's even in Marvel movies. So he's kind of everywhere. Mr. Robot, you know, I know, I mean, I'm a fan of that show, but, probably a lot of listeners are. There's even some shows I haven't seen him in, which were famous. Will and Grace, Nurse Jackie, Modern Family. He does voiceover work and a lot of other stuff. I mean, just seems like an absolute wonder. And then it turns out his son was in this episode. Okay, next up is Chopper. This we'll finish up with. Chopper is a style. Okay, so it's not. It is a motorcycle. I always am like, is it a motorcycle or not? It's a custom motorcycle that emerged in California in the 1950s. It's the most extreme of, or perhaps the most extreme, according to Wikipedia, of custom styles. Using radically modified steering angles and lengthened forks for a stretched out appearance. It can be built from an original motorcycle, which is then modified, chopped, or built up from scratch. They have long front ends with extended forks, coupled with an increased rate angle, hardtail frames without rear suspension, or like different kinds of handlebars. And there was like in the movie Easy Rider, Peter Fonda rode one. So it's a little bit about choppers. And then I actually have somebody that wants to come on the show really fast. They haven't been on the podcast in like 5 or 6 years. It's been like 6 years. Hey, everybody. My name is Wendy Marstrap, and you may have never heard of me. I was on the podcast in its first year, and Scooter just never had me back. I think maybe he had me back one time for May the 4th Be With You Day, and then he kind of forgot about me. But that's fine, because I have a best friend who's a Dewback, Dewey the Dewback, who's here with me. Curled up at my feet, I'm patting Dewey's head right now. And the reason Scooter had me on was because I actually am, I am from the world of Star Wars, and I am a big fan of, I have a dream of having a travel show for Star Wars and telling people about all the great places they could go. And Scooter's had even forgot about me. I mean, you know, he's busy with his show and everything. And then he said when he saw the Dewback, he thought of Dewey. And he forgot my name, he said, up until I said, he said, how are you going to open the show? How are you going to introduce yourself? And I said, Scooter, did you forget my name? It's Wendy Marstrap, and this is Dewey, my Dewback. And he said, well, I remember Dewey. And so I'm going to come on the program occasionally and tell you about places in Star Wars, because Scooter doesn't want to look anything up. And we'll probably be using, I'll be honest, I'll be in your world. I travel by the fan fiction fantasy machine, so I could travel between worlds. Don't worry about that at all. So tonight I'm going to tell you about Corellia. And we'll be using the Star Wars Wikia probably for a lot of this, and my own knowledge. Now, Corellia is one of the core worlds. It's a temperate climate, and that's what I wanted to tell you about first. Come here for a temperate climate, forests, jungles, and cities. You're really going to like it. But if you love industry, and you now they say there's a lot of these adventurers on like those whatever that atlas, Global Atlas or whatever that site is, that puts people's pictures up of them adventuring. I don't know what it's called, but it's something like that, Scooter said. You could come to some of the abandoned shipyards on Corellia, where TIE fighters were built, Star Destroyers, and all sorts of ships. Now, our planet is also very diverse. You know, we have our native residents and fauna and flora, and then we have, you know, stuff that's been introduced to planets over the history of the world. It's actually not my planet. I'm from the planet in this episode. But anyway, not important at all. Now, the Corellian people were known for their wanderlust, but they were really a big part of the original Old Republic. And of course, the Empire. And so some people might not remember us in the most, remember them in the most positive of ways. And you might say, what's our most favorite, you know, what's the most famous resident of Corellia? And everyone might argue, but I would say it's probably Han Solo. Even though there's probably other, you know, other famous people that have been there. And so if you have a chance, you know, don't go on Star Tours, you know, take a trip to Corellia. I mean, if it's possible, which it probably isn't for most of you, but you could picture, you could close your eyes now and picture Dewey, my dewback, breathing calmly, just like any other dog would. The breath rising and falling. And maybe we're all resting somewhere on Corellia. Maybe it's in a nice hotel overlooking the shipyards. Maybe we'll go on a tour there later. Maybe we'll go out to the forest and relax and enjoy our time. Then we'll go on a historical tour. You know, there's a talk of having an artist district where we could be repurposing imperial things. So it's exciting times here in Corellia. So come visit soon. I'm Wendy Marstrap. I'll talk to you soon. Good night. All right. I want to say thanks, and good night to Lauren, Tony, and Cy. Thank you, thanks, and good night to Karen, Jerry, and Katarina. Thanks, and good night to Dwight, W. Biggie, and Paula. Thanks, and good night to Katie, Justin, and Emily. Thanks, and good night to Fabricia, Justin, and Jamie. Thanks, and good night to Rachel, Mike, and Lee. Thanks, and good night to Greg, David, and Suze. Thanks, and good night to Tessa, Grace, and Rushan. Thanks, and good night to Elisa, Rachel, and Matt. Thanks, and good night to Julina, Sarah, and Christopher. And thanks, and good night to Vanessa, Caleb, Callie, and Amish. Thanks, and good night, everybody. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because of people that support the show via membership at Patreon, and the people that support our sponsors buy the merch, come to the live shows. That's what enables us to keep the podcast free for everybody, so I really, really appreciate that. And like the way Sleep With Me grows is just people naturally sharing their experience with the show online or in person. And, you know, promoting podcasts in general is a huge way to help the podcast as well. Speaking of which, here's a podcast I want you to know about from Night Vale Presents. Thanks, everybody. Good night. All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, okay, so on Sleep With Me Plus, One of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this, and then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think it may be this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. The All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, PI, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo, that was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode, big retraction in that one, you know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that. that and probably season two, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season one and season two and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season one. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great. If you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.